I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
Well, you know, that's exactly what I try to do is that when I'm, you know, out with Backstreet Boys, which I'm so grateful my wife is the rock back home and takes care of the kids. And my wife and my kids are so understanding that daddy goes out to work and they share daddy with not only them, but with the rest of the world. And they're so great about it. So when I put my time in with a group, I really try to put my heart and soul in.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome to this special episode of The Dad Experience. I'm kind of over the moon today. Today, our guest really doesn't need an introduction. On today's show, we have Howie Durow, or Howie D, who's best known as being one-fifth of the Backstreet Boys. He recently also released an amazing family album. My family loves it. It's a cool album. It's really great. It's totally family-oriented for the whole family. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. He's currently on tour and taking some time to talk to us here at The Dad Experience. So please join me in welcoming Howie D. Welcome to the show, Howie.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem. Well, we start off every episode of The Dad Experience with who lives with you at home and what's the makeup of your household?
Well, actually, I actually live with them when I'm home here and there. My wife, Lee, and my two boys, James and Holden, who are 10 and 6 years old.
Awesome. Do you guys have any pets?
We don't as of yet. My oldest one, unfortunately, is allergic to dogs with the dander. But he loves him so much that we're starting to look into some hyperallergenic dogs.
Nice. That's great. That's really, really cool. So, you know, I'm curious right off the gate. You know, I'm a band teacher. My listeners know that, and I'm super busy during football season and away from my family so much. So how do you manage your busy time? You know, you're touring all over the world. How do you manage that busy time with the Backstreet Boys and making sure you have that quality time with your family?
Well, you know, that's exactly what I try to do is that when I'm, you know, out with Backstreet Boys, which I'm so grateful my wife is the rock back home and takes care of the kids. And my wife and my kids are so understanding that daddy goes out to work and they share daddy with not only them, but with the rest of the world. And they're so great about it. So when I put my time in with a group, I really try to put my heart and soul in and work hard. But then when I come home with my kids, I try to play hard too, you know, and be a dad as much as I can when I'm back home. Believe it or not, I'm the bus driver. I take the kids to school. I'm taking out the garbage. I'm doing the honey-do list. It's all there. I'm a normal guy when I'm back home. Nothing special there.
That's cool, though, to hear that you guys get involved. Now, I have a question for you. Does your family get to come out on tour at all with you? Like, I know you're touring right now during the summer. I'm assuming school's out for the kids. And do they get to travel at all with you guys?
They do. Actually, we got them out of school a week early in May. For them to come out and join me in Europe. And we were over there for 2 months. And wow. They went all over Europe with me. And then right now we're in the States and in Canada. I'm actually calling you right now from Winnipeg today. But I'm very blessed to have my family out here with me. And it means the world to me because obviously it's the summertime. So they have the opportunity. And if I didn't have them come out, I would miss out on the summer with them. So it means a lot for all of us to be able to take our families with us.
Absolutely. So do you guys all get together? Like, is there a lot of kids on tour at the same time? Does that ever happen with all you guys?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely times where all five of us have our kids out. And it's a three-ring circus when that happens. But right now, it's actually Kevin has his two boys out and I have my two boys out. And they love it. They get along so well. They're like best of friends out here. They're all around the same age. And they play their video games. They're all over their tablets and their iPads. They're definitely active with each other.
I bet it's pretty neat and I bet it's pretty cool experience for them, especially going to Europe. I would imagine that was pretty cool for your kids and your family to kind of experience that. What was your favorite place to visit in Europe?
Well, first of all, they love Europe. I mean, Europe is up on definitely on the top of my list of places to go tour because there's just so many great, beautiful countries within just a matter of hours from each other and amazing food. It's nothing that you never get tired over there because it's a new experience from day to day, but for me, some of my favorite places are Italy, probably Spain, and maybe even I'd say Sweden. I love the Scandinavian area as well. But all over, you know, Europe is amazing for the food, for the culture, the entertainment scene there is just great.
Yeah. What's, you know, I traveled to Europe. I have family in Malta actually. And we just got back with both of my kids from visiting family in Malta. And what's your favorite thing to do as a family when you like go to a different country? What do you want to do with an experience? What do you guys usually do when you travel?
Normally we, you know, start off by figuring out what kind of food we're going to be eating that day. Cause food is a big part of our touring, you know, makeup. I love actually basing my tours around a lot of times, just, you know, great places that have good food you know, sometimes some adult beverages are always really nice. I love craft beers. Mm-hmm. So I will definitely, I love, you know, it's one of my favorite things of going over to Belgium and Germany. But you know, when the kids are out, we normally try to cater a lot to them, by, you know, just trying to find like the local, you know, stuff that's there for them to do, whether it's going to museums, whether it's going to, you know, art festivals, whether it's science centers, whatever it may be out there. You know, it's so great with the kids because, especially my oldest right now, he's starting to learn a lot of this stuff in his history books. So to actually be able to see it, you know, hand and be able to touch some of these places is the best education you could ever be getting. So that's why we really never have too many issues with the teachers. We want to pull the kids out of school here and there to come because they just know they're getting the best education they could even offer them.
That's super cool. That is cool, though, that they can directly relate it right away. That's so important in education to be able to see what they're learning. And it makes better memories and it makes them understand it a little bit better. You know, kind of shifting gears a little bit. Yeah. And kind of shifting gears just a little bit. I know you have a new album that just came out. I think it was, well, we're recording this, it was last Friday, I want to say. Which One Am I? You released that album just recently. And can you tell us why creating and sharing music is so important for our children?
Oh, well, for me, my kids are the reason why I made this record. First of all, they inspired me, along with the guys and my mom, but mainly my kids, especially my oldest one. About 5 years ago, when he was 5 years old, I had a hard time connecting with him, with the music that was out there and in the children's world. And I didn't understand why, because there's a lot of great movies that are out there nowadays that, you know, they've really perfected in the movie scene world with all the animated movies like Toy Story and Wreck-It Ralph and the Minions, and you know, the list goes on and on, how many great movies that are out there that kids and adults can both be entertained. And I just didn't find that connection with the music. And one day I looked out in an audience and I saw all of these teenager fans that have grown up with us that now have kids of their own and bringing their kids to the concerts. And I was like, there should be more music besides Backstreet Boys, of course, for families to enjoy. And so for me, it was very important to make this record to not only have a bonding experience with my kids, but hopefully to be able to have other parents have, you know, music that they can play and listen and have, they either have a laugh or educate their child on the topic that I'm discussing. It wasn't originally meant to be about my life, but as we were writing it, the writers that I have, Tor Haim and Lisa St. Lou out of New York, they really encouraged me to write loosely based about, you know, stuff that I dealt with as a little kid, everything from being shy to worrying to being height challenged to being my older sister's shadow to the first single, No Hablo Español, which I'm very proud that my son and my mother are in. It's three generations in one video, so it's a really special moment for me. But that song was loosely based about, you know, as a little kid growing up in the States, my mother was Hispanic and she married an Irish Scottish American gentleman, and when they started having kids, they didn't want us, especially my mom, didn't want us to learn Spanish to have accent or anything like that. Kind of, I guess, trying to make us Americanized with no accents to not be discriminated. But, you know, little by little, you know, I would be around other Latin kids and they would automatically look at me and think, since I look Spanish more than I do Irish, Scottish, American, they would start speaking to me in Spanish. But I really quickly had to learn to say no hablo español, which means I don't speak Spanish. But it's like I say, it's these subjects that I felt like that we all felt together were very still current and relevant nowadays. And so it was really important for me to write about these things. It was kind of very therapeutic at the same time, you know, gave me a chance to explain a lot of things to my kids.
Right. And, you know, speaking of No Hablo Español, you know, you said your family was involved in that video shoot and that process. How was that, and how was working with the family and getting them involved and that experience for you guys as a family unit?
That was an awesome experience. I mean, I honestly will cherish that video forever because it's the first video that I have, like I was telling you earlier, three generations, my mom, myself, and my son. And so that's a memory that not only will I be able to take forever, but so will they. But, you know, it was a great experience. You know, both of them were very new to the scene of doing music videos. My son, actually, he's got a little bit of the entertainer bug in him already. He's already got his own YouTube channel, James the Great, and he's, you know, doing school musicals. He's taking voice lessons from my sister, doing dance lessons. So I can see he's kind of following in my footsteps. But, you know, it was very new for him to be on the scene, you know, on a video set. But he took really great directions from the director. I kind of coached him along on, you know, expressions and the feelings behind the words. And he was a little ham. I mean, he's, you know, it's so cute to watch the video now. Everybody loves this. They applaud him for it. And my mom was so great. I mean, she's the reason why I'm here doing this nowadays. Because of the fact that when my earlier she helped me, when she saw that I had a passion for wanting to be an entertainer, she helped hone my craft by being able to put me in voice lessons and dance lessons and acting lessons. And so I'm just so grateful to be able to share this moment with her.
Absolutely. You know, you talked a little bit about it going earlier, and you talked about, you know, how your mom kind of had you, you know, not speak with a Spanish accent, and you didn't know how to speak, so you learned quickly how to say no habla español. And it almost seems like when I'm watching that video, you know, obviously you're embracing your culture and you're accepting all your experiences growing up. And now that you've kind of come full circle and you have kids of your own, are you incorporating more of your culture and more of your traditions and teaching your kids more about that? And if so, how do you guys do that and incorporate those traditions and start teaching your students about culture or your kids about culture?
I always try to, believe it or not, even when we're traveling over in Europe, I was definitely like, this is how the culture is over here in these certain places. And this is, you know, how people, they eat these certain types of foods. And food to me is definitely, I'd say, probably the biggest component that I use to try to, you know, influence my kids about their Latin culture, especially my mom's side. You know, and they love the beans and rice. They love the pork. They love all this Latin food. And, you know, actually on my wife's side, she's Italian. And so they have a strong taste for spaghetti and pizza. So when we were over in Italy, not pretty much all over Europe, we had a lot of Italian food. That's quite easy to find. But even we were over in Ireland, I'm like, okay, we're going to eat some corned beef and cabbage today. This is, you know, where grandpa, his roots are from. So I find that, you know, food is definitely a great avenue to be able to help, you know, I guess, teach them and open their taste buds and their palate. But also I have a place that I got from my mom many years ago in Puerto Rico. So I try to take my kids. My oldest one's been there. We're getting ready to take my youngest one now for the first time. But I try to, you know, express to them what it's like being over there and also the Latin rhythms with dancing and stuff like that. That's another great avenue as well. And just listening to other Latin songs out there.
Yeah, no, I bet that's a really cool experience. I know just firsthand, and even when I see my students, when we send them on exchange, you know, trips, or when I take my kids, just immersing them in the culture and maybe not just spending, you know, our time always in a hotel or on a beach or, you know, in museums are great, but not always in a museum, but getting out there and experience the culture with the people. And it's just so neat to see, especially kids, just accept that and kind of just know that it's different, but you know, accept it and learn and really have an enjoyable time doing it. It's so neat to see that happen. It's just super cool.
Absolutely. I always try to tell them to embrace it. And it may be different than what we've grown up with or what we've seen or what we've been accustomed to, but it's always good to open your mind.
Yeah. So this is a good place for us to take a short break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can get our podcast and many other parenting podcasts on the app. You can download it at the Google Play Store or the Apple iTunes Store, and stick around at the end of this episode for another great podcast that if you love the Dad Experience, we're sure you're going to like. Stick around. We're going to talk more to Howie D about parenting, family, the Backstreet Boys, and his new album that he's got out. So make sure you stay tuned after the break. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We're here with Howie D. He has a brand new children's family album out, which is called Which One Am I? He's also currently on tour with the Backstreet Boys. Really an honor to be able to speak with him today. So we talked a little bit about your video, No Hablo Español, but you know, there's a lot more on that album than just that one song. So, you know, this album, you talked briefly a little bit in the beginning of the interview here about, you know, the inspiration, how you get ideas for music, but, you know, how did this album, come about and what was the specific inspiration? I know you said it was kind of your family and kind of learning and sharing that, but was there any other influences that kind of went along with it?
Well, definitely, like I would say, my son definitely is the, especially my oldest one, James, is probably the biggest key influence on making this record. Even himself, he one morning woke up and said, "Dad, I got these monsters in my head that I just can't get out." He's like, "At night, he's like, I just don't know what's wrong. Why do they keep on coming?" And I had explained to him at 5 years old, it's okay. It's just a bad dream and it's all good. You'll have another dream tonight or tomorrow and hopefully it'll be better. But that it's not real. But as I took him to school, I'm like, I got to remember this title. It's such a great title. So I wrote about a song about, you know, kids and understanding that, you know, it's bad dreams are just a phase and then a night and, it, you know, not to worry about it. I wrote about stuff like worrying, believe it or not, about as a little kid that I used to worry a lot. And my mom influenced me with this one because she's always wanted me to do like a reggae type album over the years. And so I was able to take a topic, worry, which is not obviously the easiest word to sing about. And I made it into a reggae tune, which I was really proud of. But also I have, you know, a distant cousin of mine, a gentleman named Bob Dureau. He wrote a lot. He was a really well-known jazz musician. He's played with Miles Davis back in the days. And wow. He wrote all the music for a TV show many years ago called the Schoolhouse Rock. Huh. And it was on Saturday mornings. And they had such great songs like Conjunction Junction and I'm Just a Bill on Capitol Hill. And it was, he did such a great job, I felt like, on teaching kids and almost kind of like that blues kind of rockabilly type style with, you know, making his music just fun. So he definitely influenced me on some of the songs, as well as, believe it or not, the guys influenced me with making the song, which is the title track of the album, Which One Am I? And that was loosely based around the topic of, you know, since I don't go walking around every day with a Backstreet Boy sign on me, a lot of people don't know who I am, to be honest. And I blend through crowds and people don't even know I'm a singer, let alone which group I'm in. So there's always over the years, you know, for all of us within the group, there's been times where we've been, you know, mistaken as other members of other groups or, you know, even within our own group, mistaken of being a different member from the group. So I had a fun homage song that I paid tribute to the guys, explaining which one is everybody and which one I am. So there was definitely a lot of influences to me on this record. And even my great writers that I work with, Tora and Lisa, they influenced me. Their musical writing ability, Tora's a Grammy-nominated children's CD writer and producer, and Lisa St. Lou is actually a performer on Broadway. She's done lots of musicals in the past, including the first run of The Producers. And the way they write and they're singer-songwriter, almost like very theatrical type settings, believe it or not, inspired us to make a musical that's come out of this CD. The CD has inspired us to make this, you know, the story that we created off of the CD. We've now taken it to the theater, and I'm very proud that we're going to be premiering it. I'll actually be performing, starring in it next January and to early February at the Omaha, Nebraska Rose Theater. And so it's a lot of great stuff that's come out of this whole project.
How cool. That is really cool that you're doing that. And hopefully, you know, the meaning of this album is so special, and you've taken things that, you know, I've listened to many albums and, you know, children's albums, especially now doing the Dad Experience here. And there's not many that take on some of the topics. Like you said, worrying is not always the easiest topic to take on, but it's such an important thing, especially in this day and age with social media and all those things that kind of compound worrying and anxiety and all those great things. So kudos to you for tackling that. You know, do you find though that like that maybe some of that well, first of all, I guess how do you guys manage all that kind of stimuli within your household? Is there anything special that you guys do as far as like iPad use or, you know, I know there's always a time for recreation, our kids need downtime, but how do you guys kind of manage that? Because it does. It adds and stresses to some of those factors.
Absolutely, you know, and I've never tried to really preach to anybody how to handle their usage of electronics with kids. I always feel like, you know, to each his own for parenting. You know, I know for my wife, believe it or not, with me not being there, on a daily basis. Sometimes for her, that tablet is just a break for her, just to have a moment right. of peace while she needs to, you know, eat at dinner. And we try to regulate the tablets when we're trying to eat together as a family, especially at dinner time. You know, it's one of those kind of things that, you know, it is modern technology, and, you know, it's one of those kind of things that, you know, as a little kid, I didn't have it. But my generation probably had television that, you know, parents had to, you know, constantly have to deal with their kids back in those days of wanting to constantly just watch the television. You know, my kids, they aren't as much of the television. They are more of this new generation where they're more so on the computers and on the tablets. And like I say, we try to allow them to have some freedom because there are some educational stuff out there. Even mm-hmm. some of the games, believe it or not, like Minecraft, there are some educational components to some of these games out there. And so we try to embrace that. I mean, my son, my oldest one, James, is so electronically gifted that, believe it or not, we've actually putting him into coding classes because he's just really, really smart at that stuff. So we try to take the electronics and try to use them to the best of the abilities. But at the same time, we also do regulate. We are our parents, and we also want to make sure that the kids are outside and, you know, playing in nature and, you know, just experiencing outdoor what the nature has out there to offer. And I'm also taking quality time. We have good, you know, conversations and sing and play music, play instruments together. You know, it's just trying to be well-rounded and, you know, as balanced as much as you can.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. Balance is key. And, you know, I somebody once told me, I was talking to somebody on this podcast, and they definitely said, they said, you know what? So there's a difference between just consumption of a technology and creating within a technology for the good. And it sounds like that's kind of what you guys kind of do. Obviously, we all need downtime. Of course, we all need time to sit and watch our favorite TV show or something. That's always going to happen. But, you know, it sounds like you guys are doing some great things with the kids, and that's really awesome to hear. So have you learned anything from your music? Like, let's say this album that you have out right now, you know, you kind of go back and you take a step back. Is anything that you kind of learned while you were creating this music that you now incorporate into your parenting style?
That's actually a really good question.
Or does any of your music, let's say, is there anything that you've learned throughout creating and writing music that you now incorporate into your parenting style or you pass on to your children?
Well, you know, I'm learning every day. Me and my wife, we always, you know, let people know we never proclaim to be, you know, the best parents. We're still learning every day how to be parents and trying to do the best that we can. But I learn a lot from the other people that I'm around. You know, I'm actually a baby, the youngest of five kids. So I have a lot of like my brothers and sisters, and seeing them raising their kids that have really helped influence me, learning from the goods and the bads. But also even some of my other members within the group, some of the other guys had kids before me. So, you know, we also are able to learn from each other. You know, and as well as, you know, I try to take my parents, what they instilled in me. You know, I always try to teach my kids to always, what I learned as a little kid, to do unto others as you would have done to you, treat people the way you want to be treated. So that's always something I really try to instill in my kids, especially with, you know, me being who I am. And, you know, our kids go to a private Catholic school in Florida, and you know it's quite, you know, funny because when I do the drop off line, a lot of the parents will come out and say hi, and a lot of them are female moms that are kind of, I think, get a little excited to see that James's father comes to drop him off at school. But you know, we do regular everyday stuff with our kids, and we participate in a lot of the volunteer stuff at the school. We get, you know, our kids to get involved. And just that way they know that, you know, Daddy is very blessed, and he has blessed to have this great opportunity, this great life that I've been able to provide for not only for myself, but for my family, but to never take it for granted and never treat others in any way differently, you know, just because sometimes we may be a little bit more blessed, you know, we give to others and always make them feel happy and, you know, whenever they can. And so that's something I've always instilled in my kids. You know, even when it comes to manners, I've always taught my littlest one, my little one and my oldest one, James, to when grandma comes to the house, you know, help her, you know, get around and always, you know, extend out a hand to help her when she gets out the car and, you know, and always look at people when they're talking to you and make eye contact and you know, and you can remember just like Daddy always learned from his parents, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, you know, and try to always give respect to elderly out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you were younger getting, I'm assuming a little bit younger when you were getting into the business. And do you have any advice or anything that maybe you learned along the way that maybe there's a listener out there or somebody that's catching our show that has a child that wants to break into the industry or maybe get involved in the industry? Is there anything that you learned along the way that you wish somebody would have told you, like maybe some magic caveat or something or anything that just to kind of, you know, to pass on to folks that maybe can learn from something that maybe you learned along the way?
Well, I know for me, I'm so grateful that I had a parent, my mother especially. My dad worked a lot, but my mother was definitely able to be hands-on with me and take me to voice lessons and to dance lessons and was there really, really supportive. And also as a great parent, doing the parent duty of making sure they kept an eye on me so that way nothing was done in any bad way from any other adults around me. But so I always encourage parents to make sure they are involved with their kids, knowing what they're learning, what they're being taught. Sit in the voice lessons, sit in the dance lessons, so that way you can really see what's going on behind closed doors as a parent first and furthermost. But also to me, it's I feel like always as any artist out there, I always encourage them to really, really, really work on perfecting their craft. Because I feel like a lot of times people are like, oh, I want to be a star. I want it to happen tomorrow. But I feel like taking your time is not a bad thing. To really learn and to figure out who you are as an artist. Because once it comes out in the, to the world, it's kind of hard to take back once you put yourself out there. So really, I really am a true believer in taking your time, especially if you want to become a recording artist, and making sure it's the best product you can have before going out. And at the same time, I really encourage a lot of newcomers to really educate themselves about the business, because it is a business as well. Some of the best advice I got many years ago with the group, we were in Orlando performing at a fairgrounds, and one of the original members of the Temptations was there performing as well. And he gave us some of the best advice I always pass on to people nowadays. He said, remember, it's two words what you're doing, show business. And you have to treat them both equally, because if you're only worrying about your show, somebody can be taken off with your business. Mm-hmm. And I never forgot that. I was like, wow, that is such great information, because there's so many artists that you hear nowadays that have, became very successful. And all of a sudden they're like, 5-10 years, from now, wondering where all their money went. And didn't properly understand what they were getting themselves into contracts wise. I always encourage artists to take the time and just, use the whatever resources they can to get, educated upon their contracts. If they have the abilities to get in a lawyer or entertainment lawyer, that's always great. If not, really, truly, read those contracts and don't just sign right away, because, there's horror stories out there where people just pretty much sign their lives away. And so I think that if you can do that, educate yourself. And there's so many outlets nowadays out there with the internet and the social media, that's out there. There's so many ways that artists can get out there much faster than what we had back in the day. So really learn how to find the right places to put your music out there.
Yeah, that's great advice. And, just out of curiosity, I'm assuming you started at a very young age. How long did it take from, start and then maybe when you decided, hey, this is something that I want to do as a career, to, breaking it into, your first big break? How long were you doing? How long were you at this, the music business or the show business per se, before you broke?
Well, my break came with the group, the Backstreet Boys, when I was 19 years old, but I started actually as a young kid. Mm-hmm. First thing I started doing when I was a little kid was I kind of followed in my older sister's shadow. That's why there's a song called Pollyanna Shadow on the CD. And she's 11 years older than me. And I was very grateful that she kind of took me along whenever she'd go to musicals, whatever it was. And at the time when I was 6 years old, she was in a musical, The Wizard of Oz. And they asked all the cast members to reach out if they had any little brothers or sisters to play the Munchkins. And so I got, my sister brought me along, and I was one of the Lollipop Guild guys within the Munchkins. And I realized at an early age that I had the fever to be an entertainer, and I just really, really perfected my craft. I took a lot of work. I over the years took lots of voice lessons, dance lessons, acting lessons, started auditioning for anything and everything, musicals, TV shows, commercials, voiceovers, whatever I could do in Orlando. You know, you pretty much had to be like a triple threat just to keep yourself busy. And, you know, I got very close to several things that, you know, I was internally bummed. But I learned really quickly that, you know, in this business, there's a lot more rejection than there is acceptance. But I got really close to being the Mickey Mouse Club, the early days, the first original cast, when they did the remake mm-hmm. many years later. Also got really close into being the Menudo, but since I didn't know Spanish, I unfortunately didn't make it with that. But lots of great things, Nickelodeon, a lot of stuff out there that, you know, I almost had, and, but I didn't give up. And that was the biggest thing, is I realized at a young age that you have to be willing to accept rejection more than acceptance in the business. And that's what just kept, you know, kept me going, not let myself get down. And eventually I was able to, you know, weather the storm and you know, got my big break with the Backstreet Boys at 19 years old. And it was, you know, I'm so glad I had the patience and the support behind me to allow me to keep on going and not give up.
Yeah, that's great. And it's good for folks to know that it's not just a lot of times an overnight thing. It's something that you took lessons, you built up that career, and you kept on taking things and getting feedback and moving forward. I think that's so important for folks to know that, like you said, it's not just about the show. There's a business, and you kind of have to keep working yourself into it to make it happen. Before we close out the episode, there's one more question we ask all of our guests that, that is what is the thing that you can't wait, or maybe you've already seen through your children's eyes that maybe you experienced as a younger person, or even something that maybe you didn't get to experience that you can't wait for them to see? It can be an experience, it can be an event, it can be anything. Is there something out there that you just can't wait to see again through your children's eyes?
You know what? For me, I've been blessed with the Backstreet Boys for, you know, being in this group for 26 years now. And we've had a chance to travel all around the world. It's been the most amazing career I could have ever asked from God above and all of our amazing fans. And, you know, we've had a chance to go to some of these unbelievable, beautiful countries and, you know, sometimes multiple times. But, you know, it's actually with me now, with life for all of us, it's changed as we've gotten older. You know, in the earlier days, when we were young, you know, it was more of like the nightlife and just, you know, enjoying the entertainment stuff out there. Now that I actually have kids, I love going back to some of these places, you know, seeing some of these things, you know, through their eyes, the first time they're seeing Big Ben, the first time they're seeing the Eiffel Tower, you know, all these great places, going over to Japan, experiencing the local cuisine over there and the Asian cuisine and going to, you know, to just some of these great places that were up, you know, in America, even right now, up in the, you know, and the Rockies up here in Canada and you know, just seeing this through their eyes and just how excited it gets them. It brings back that excitement to me, like the first time I ever saw it. So my kids are a blessing that they've kept the fire going for me, wanting to keep on doing this.
Great. Yeah. And you know, you've got your album out. Can you tell folks how they can maybe find you on social media or how they can get that album and, kind of what you're doing now, so our folks can find you and get that album and maybe come see a show?
Absolutely. Yeah. Anything and everything the fans want to know, they can always go to howied.net. That's my personal website. And I'm all over the social medias on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, either Howie_Duro or Howie D. But through those social outlets, all my fans can, you know, talk to me personally, as well as find out all the stuff that I got going on, including the musical Howie D Back in the Day, which I said to you a little earlier, is going to be at Omaha, Nebraska at the Rose Theater last weekend of January into the first two weekends of February. And a lot of great things that hopefully we're coming out of this. I'm really excited to have this little side project here with doing this family album that's hopefully leading us to do not only just the musical, but hopefully, you know, we've talked about maybe doing some more, like even a TV series or maybe an animated series, or maybe even one day my own podcast would be great. But just to, you know, express this little side creative outlet that I have that hopefully will bring some enjoyment to families together.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're busy, and we really appreciate you taking the time to speak to the Dad Experience listeners. So thanks, Howie, for doing that.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Anytime. Thank you.
Don't forget, the Dad Experience is a parent, part of the Parents On Demand Network. If you have a question for me, or you have a show idea, or you have a question for a guest, you can reach out to us at experienceanddad@gmail.com. Or if you want to be a guest on the show, hit us up. Let us know your show idea, and we'll let you know. You can find us on Instagram. Just search in the Dad Experience and most major other social networking platforms. So till next time, thanks for listening to the Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents On Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.